I didn't see you there.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another fantastic episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry. Phil Hutchinson, Senior Specialist of Community Programs at Element 14, is joining us today, and he is bringing some seriously creepy Halloween design contest fun with him. But first, how about a little news you may have missed, Black Hole Sun edition. Now, have you ever thought that maybe we're just living in a black hole and we didn't know it? Well, I have, but that might not be so far from reality. Because recently a group of astronomers found not one, but six galaxies just hanging out around a supermassive black hole that originated, you know, from about when the universe was around a billion years old. Okay, so this research is important for several reasons. First, this is the first time that such a grouping of galaxies has been discovered so soon after the Big Bang. It also explains a lot about how black holes form, how they grow so quickly, and why they grow so quickly. So, at the center of this groundbreaking research is the European Southern Observatory's Very Large Telescope, or VLT, and what it found recently was nothing short of amazing. A supermassive black hole that had several galaxies surrounding it, all within a cosmic spiderweb of gas in an area 300 times bigger than the Milky Way. So it's the discovery of these additional galaxies and their spider-webbed gases that may hold the key to unlocking the mysteries of black holes. Okay, let's back up a second. It's believed that the first black holes grew very quickly in the days of the first stars collapse in the universe. But until now, astronomers have struggled with what kind of black hole fuel could encourage such immense expansion over a relatively short amount of time. Well, now they think it's that gassy spiderweb business and the other galaxies within it that made this whole thing possible. So how exactly did these spiderwebbed gassy structures come to be? Well, astronomers actually think that giant halos of dark matter attracted large amounts of gas in the early days of the universe. And it's in this combination of gas and dark matter that gave birth to these web-like structures that then allowed galaxies and black holes to evolve. Colin Norman of Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, co-author of this study, says this. He says, "Our finding lends support to the idea that the most distant and massive black holes form and grow within massive dark matter halos in large-scale structures, and that the absence of earlier detections of such structures was likely due to observational limitations." Wow. So yes, these galaxies are only now being able to be observed using the world's greatest telescopes, including VLT. But this team of astronomers contend that they believe that they have seen just the tip of the iceberg, and that the few galaxies discovered so far around this supermassive black hole are only the brightest ones. All right. So when I was researching this study, I also found some really interesting information about a new theory on how these supermassive black holes were originally formed, proposed by some astrophysicists at Tohoku University in Japan. In their theory, these massive black holes were actually created by swallowing up a large amount of interstellar gas and smaller stars as well. So, it seems like we're getting closer and closer to a confident understanding about the origin of black holes and their role in the evolution of the universe. Wow, it's about time. No, I kid. So, if you want even more information about either one of these stories, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page on eejournal.com. And now it's time to bring in Phil Hutchinson from Element 14 to introduce us to the creepies and the crawlies of this year's Element 14 Community Halloween Competition. Let's go. Hi, Phil. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hey, hi, nice to meet you.
Okay, so we're talking about the Element 14 Community Halloween Project Competition. So first, Phil, tell me a little bit about this design competition and the motivations behind this year's contest, which is a bit different than last year's contest, right?
It is. So Halloween every year, one of my jobs at the Element 14 community is to run a Halloween competition. I'm involved with Raspberry Pi and Microbit and a lot of the design competitions. And every year I get to let loose and do something that I really, really enjoy. And that's obviously Halloween. Normally have a bunch of projects, a bunch of engineers, a bunch of new engineers, a bunch of students, and a bunch of retired engineers concocting terrible things to scare the children and the grandkids. Kids with. And this year we're going to be doing what we're calling, hashtag a different Halloween. We're really wanting it to be something a little bit safer, a little bit more socially distanced, and we're asking for projects which are spooky, which are fun, which use electronics but are distanced and safe. Obviously with the world with COVID at the moment, just keeping people safe and having them be creative in this time.
I love that. So, Phil, I was looking through some of the winners of last year's Halloween project, and there were some really great community projects. I was especially interested by that open heart costume. So, Phil, can you give my audience some examples of the cool stuff you saw in last year's contest?
Yeah, sure. We had all sorts of people apply. We had people from small engineers to, as I said, retired engineers. We had a chap called Theremin Hero, who is kind of semi-famous in the UK because he was on Britain's Got Talent as an engineer who built a laser heart theremin setup. And for us, he built a rotating LED matrix cube, which allowed him to play Castlevania, but was infinitely scrolling, which is not how Castlevania comes. Just so cool. We had one of our youngest producers of video content, Adam, created a jar of eyes which would follow you around the room using microservers. And I believe he used sonar as well, just to choose where you are in the room and point the eyes at you in a kind of a creepy way. But it's a bunch of really good ones. We had Microbit powered jack-o'-lanterns, which are great. So it turns the lights on and off depending on contacts and what people are touching. And we're actually hoping to get a bunch more Microbit projects because, as you know, we released the Microbit V2 yesterday. So that's really exciting. We had a Ghostbusters Ecto-1 that had been built by a community member, and they retrofitted one of their existing cars with flashing lights and systems on top, which I'm not entirely sure about the legality of driving that one around, though. Loads of stuff, loads of scary, loads of spooky, and everybody likes an automated ghost when you walk past it.
Yes, everyone should like an automated ghost. So, Phil, let's talk about the blogging part of this in particular. Why do you guys feel it's important to include this aspect into the design contest?
Yeah, blogging and vlogging are very, very important to Element 14 community. We have been running since 2009 now. We've got 500,000 members on the community, and we want people to show off what they do, whether that's uploading a video. We want them to talk about it. They want them to talk about their problems with it. We don't just want people to report on the really cool stuff they do. We want people to collaborate and work on something together. And the best format we've found through that on the Element 14 community is discussion and blogging at the top.
Fantastic. Now, walk me through some of the steps of entering this contest. Where should I go for information and what kind of details should I be aware of?
Yeah, so it's very, very simple. Go to element14.com/Halloween, and that will drop you straight onto the A Different Halloween page. We have rounded up all of the entries from last year, shows you everything you need to do. And that boils down to just really simply build your project, give us a blog, maybe give us a video, give us some photos, bundle it all into a blog and post it on the Element 14 community. My favorite, because I get to choose, is going to go away with an iPad Pro, which is pretty cool.
Nice. That is pretty great. And I love that you get to pick the winner. That's great, Phil.
It is. It's one of my favorite competitions of the year. And I get to see all these wonderful people torturing all of their family members with spooky projects.
I love that so much. Okay, Phil, since you haven't been on my show before, let's throw a brand new off-the-cuff Halloween special to you. So every year I would pick through all of the candy just to find the Mounds bars. What was your pick through the candy to hide first?
Oh, well, of course, and this is what I've been doing in previous years where it's been a little bit safer. It has to be the full-size candy bars.
Right.
Right. If you are that house giving away raisins or you're giving away the snack size, no, I don't vibe with that. It's all about the full-size candy bars. And mine, actually, I'm a Skittles person. So fruity little sweets, but it has to be the full-size packets.
Very interesting. Yes. No one likes that raisin house. Awesome. Well, Phil, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And yeah, if anybody wants to apply, it's just element14.com/Halloween.
Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EE Journal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EE Journal TFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, check out AmeliaD1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, sure, I dig it. You can follow us or me on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by yours truly. And also by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can subscribe to this here podcast through Spotify, Podbean, or the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you everyone for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology or heck, you just want to chat, I promise I will respond. Shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of October 16th, 2020, is the year over yet? Jeez. I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.